back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is positively the holiday season, and in the local spirit, we bring you gourmet artisan ice cream. Delicious Taharka Brothers ice cream. They just became employee-owned this week. It was a beautiful ceremony earlier in the week. I encourage everyone to get out to the Facebook page and check that out. But I also encourage you to order it right now. Bring it to your doorstep. $15.70 off the 8-pack over my shoulder, delivered to the door. You pick your flavors. You enter Baltimore Positive as your code when you check out, and you save dough. Big thanks to our friends at State Fair, at Fadley's, all across the city, everyone that has sponsored us and held this thing together, including our friends at Moeller and Gary Realty. Make sure you're shopping local, supporting local. And Don, on the eve of the big holiday here, I know you've sort of done some overtime here this week for Baltimore Positive as we go into this holiday and making sure that everybody's sort of sticking together through all this. And you're starting right at home, right?
Well, you know, we've had your council representatives on from Baltimore City, so it's time that we swing around to the county and actually have my council rep. It is a pleasure to welcome from the 1st District of Baltimore County, Councilman Tom Quirk. Tom, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Tom, I feel like when we get you, we get a twofer, because we not only get to talk about local government, where I think the rubber really meets the road and where people really see that government can work, we also get to talk about personal finances, which people are worried more and more about all of the time. And you're one of the major financial planners in the region, really recognized nationally. So you're an expert in that area. So we're going to try to hit all those in the next 20 or 30 minutes. First of all, Tom, talk to folks about your district. Describe it for them. When we have representatives on, they hear 1st District and they say, where's the 1st District in Baltimore County? So give folks sort of a geographical tour, if you will.
Sure. District 1 in Baltimore County is Southwest Baltimore County, all the way down to areas such as Riverview and Lansdowne. It incorporates areas like Halethorpe and Arbutus and Relay and Catonsville and Woodlawn and areas all the way up to about Dogwood Road. So we're talking about Secure Square Mall. We're talking about Woodbridge Valley, Westview Park, Arbutus down south. So it represents about 120,000 people and a very diverse district. It's almost like three districts in and of itself, more the southern portion, more the central part, and more of the northern part. And
well, so, you had Nestor when you mentioned Halethorpe, because unless I'm mistaken, Halethorpe is the home to the one and only Guinness Brewery. So you're right. The councilman for the Guinness
Brewery.
It's
a wet district.
That's right. We got two wonderful places such as that. We got Guinness. And we do have Heavy Seas as well. So we're well represented in the brewery front, that's for sure.
Well, Hugh's been down there forever, right? Hugh was taking the arrows going over the mountains, right?
Hugh's a great guy, and I talked to Hugh a fair amount. Big fan of Heavy Seas, and big fan of Guinness, of course.
Tom, how did you get? I've known you for a long time. Feels like forever. You've been a councilman for a decade. That's hard to believe, but tell our folks who are listening, where did your interest in public service, where did your interest in politics? I mean, we have in common, we're both Western Maryland guys today, McDaniel. But where did your interest in politics come from?
Back to about fifth grade. You know, I had a teacher named Linda Kane who got me involved in American history and Teddy Roosevelt. And so it goes all the way back to elementary school and middle school. And then in high school, I worked for a state senator, also a fellow Western Maryland graduate, Jerry Weingrad. Worked with Jerry Weingrad down in Annapolis for quite a while. And then in college at Western Maryland, the former Secretary of State, John Willis, I was his tutor for a couple of his classes. So when he had students that had trouble with one of his classes, that he would send them to me. I would help tutor them and try to get their grades up. So John Willis and I became really good friends at Western Maryland College, and I did a lot of work with Governor Glenn Denning, and been basically active ever since.
Yeah, you know, as far as getting involved in politics and rolling up the sleeves and being a part of things, I don't think anybody has seen anything like the last 7-8 months in this country for anyone in elected, any elected officials anywhere, right? So the notion and the questions and the kinds of concerns that citizens and business owners alike have for you over the last 8 months, I think there's been a lot of reaching for answers that haven't been there from government or from, quite frankly, anyone, because no one's ever experienced anything like this.
Very true. I tell you, I mean, I thought when the pandemic hit, since we were doing everything like this virtually, maybe I'd have a little more time. But the opposite turned out to be the case. It's been very time consuming, and it's very much almost nonstop. The level of issues and concerns and emails and texts. And with social media, I get texts every single day from different constituents needing different things. It's a very tough time out there. Economically, it's almost like a K-shaped recovery, as both of you know. You know, if you think about the letter K, and you know, you have one part of the American economy doing quite well, the stock market and investors, but then you have another part of the K, where it's a big part of this economy is not doing as well. I mean, the restaurant workers, obviously, you know, you're looking at all the retail. A good buddy of mine, for example, he does sound technology at big events, and hasn't worked since March. I do have
anyone who's a musician or an artist of some kind. It's been very difficult.
It's been very, very difficult. You look at the Broadway actors, and you know they're really struggling a lot. So it really is it's almost like a tale of two cities. You know, we have a part of this economy that's doing exceptionally well, and then a big part of this economy that's really not. And so, you know, thank goodness for the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, back when the COVID hit really strongly, not only did they throw one kitchen sink at the problem, they threw like 5 or 10 of kitchen sinks. So the amount of response from the Federal Reserve very, very definitively saved us from being a huge Great Depression to ease, I mean, by far and away.
Well, Tom, I want to stay with that because we know that our listeners are very interested in the economy, the recovery coming out of the pandemic. As you said, so many of our friends and neighbors, and heck, Nestor's a small business person. So we know what these small businesses are up against. And, you know, we hold our breath hoping that Congress gets something done. But you mentioned something that I think people read about a lot, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to turn into a professor here. Can you, in simple terms, explain what, when people read the Fed and this term quantitative easing, they go, what in the heck? First of all, tell them what the Fed does, because yeah. I think we assume everybody knows that. And then try to explain, almost like Schoolhouse Rock way, what in the heck is quantitative easing?
Well, that's a very that's a very complicated question. And the response could take the rest of the show, but I'll try to give you a real brief synopsis. Is, you know, when COVID hit, clearly the Fed knew they were in trouble, and so the Fed basically has different tools at their disposal. And most of it, you know, with interest rates, and so they dropped the interest rate down dramatically, basically almost to zero. They injected a lot of liquidity into the markets, which is really, really important. Think about liquidity, like just from an analogy standpoint. You have a car engine, you got to put oil in that engine to keep the engine from burning up. And if there's no oil, the engine, forget about it, can't run it. Same thing happens with the economy. If you don't have enough liquidity out there, you can have everything blow up pretty quickly. And it did. And basically, when the pandemic hit, we saw investment-grade corporate bonds blow out. Basically, investment-grade corporate bonds went down in a few days, down 22%. That's investment-grade corporates, not high yield, not junk. And so basically what we saw was the credit markets completely freeze up. Matter of fact, mortgage rates for a couple of days really spiked high because there's no credit. And so to the Federal Reserve's credit, they knew exactly what was going on. And so thank God for Jerome Powell, and actually I'll give credit to Steve Mnuchin as well, because he was very important at this time. They actually even started buying corporate debt, which is really, really important to get liquidity flowing again. And so when you look at the amount of federal response, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into a system where the balance sheet of the Fed really just ramped up huge. That was so important because otherwise there'd be no credit, there'd be no lending, there'd be no basic everything would have just collapsed real quickly and literally. And it almost did. I mean, when you see investment grade corporates decline like they did, that was pretty pretty dramatic. But thank goodness the Federal Reserve knew exactly what they needed to do. And not only did they responded dramatically, and they did a lot of moves that we've never even seen them do. Like the high yield and the corporate buying and everything else was absolutely instrumental. So I guess in the big picture, think about quantitative easing, like just analogy-wise, putting oil back in that car engine, getting the car to move again, unfreezing the credit, like literally credit destruction that was going on, and that allows the economy to function.
So Tom, when you take all of that, you've got folks all over the region, all over the state, all over the nation, who are trying to decide, I know it's not a crystal ball, but you're a financial planner. They're trying to decide what they do with their IRAs, with their investment accounts. Do they stay invested? Do they take the money out and put it on the sidelines? What, as you're meeting with clients now and you're trying to give them the best advice that you can for 2021, what are you telling folks?
Yeah, no, it's great. Great question. And as you know, Don, we run about 330 million that we invest directly for clients in about 27 states. So that keeps us fairly busy, not even including the county council. And I would say 2020 has been one of the most anxiety ridden markets I've ever seen in my life. Beside 2008, 2009, that was the only thing even close to this comparison. But clients were exceptionally nervous because of COVID and then COVID resurging and what does that mean and the shutdown. But then on top of that, we had off the charts anxiety from investors in relation to the election on both sides. You know, whether people supported one candidate or the other, the anxiety is something I've never felt from an election standpoint. It was unbelievable. People thinking that if their candidate didn't win, it would be 2008, 2009 all over again, which is the farthest thing from the truth. But investors sometimes confuse what's going on. And there's usually a fair disconnect between the markets and politics, thank goodness, because the markets just care about one thing. They care about, are earnings going up or earnings going down? If earnings go down, it means stocks generally go down. If earnings go up, it means stocks generally go up. So when you think about the next 12 or 18 months, the question is, what's going to happen to earnings? Well, we know that COVID is going away. Thank goodness for Pfizer. Thank goodness for the vaccine. So sometime in 2021, COVID will be mostly behind us. We can't wait. A lot of projections are maybe midsummer 21. Hopefully, at least COVID will be neutralized. So when COVID's neutralized, what happens to employment? Employment starts to reopen. People are going to party like it's 1999 once COVID is gone. People are going to go back and travel. They're going to see loved ones. Man, we're going to have people at restaurants. We're going to have live music every single day for weeks. It's going to be like a celebration like we don't even understand right now. It's even hard to even picture that at the moment. But that's going to be a huge economic thrust to the markets. And earnings are going to go higher because of that. So that's one thing that gives me a lot of confidence. COVID going away, game changer, number one most important thing. But in addition to that, we have trillions of dollars sitting in cash from investors scared to death, scared to get back in the markets. They were scared because of COVID. They were scared because of COVID resurging. They were scared because of the election. Trillions of dollars sitting in cash. It should be in stocks right now. Trillions. And so in the next 12, 18 months, as a lot of these people sitting in cash say, hey, things aren't as bad as I thought. Maybe I should get back in. The election didn't destroy everything. COVID resurging. We're still getting through this. So we'll see that cash coming back in the markets. Trillions of dollars going into the markets in the next 12, 18 months. I think that's going to be pretty optimistic for markets. And then the other thing to think about is interest rates, because stock prices are always in relation to interest rates. So if interest rates stay low, it means the PEs or the valuations of stocks can be higher. And so when interest rates are as low as they are today, it means the valuation that we assign to stocks can be higher than we normally would assign to them. And we just heard the Federal Reserve say they're going to keep interest rates low probably for the next several years, which basically means risk on, not risk off, risk on. And so for clients that are longer term, you know, you have an option. Keep all your money in cash or keep all your money in bonds, paying virtually nothing, or you invest in stocks. And when you're looking at so much debt and so much deficit, what that really means in the final analysis is you're going to have inflation come back and you're going to have the value of the dollar decline. And so what do people do to protect their purchasing power? They don't leave it in bonds getting 0.9% on the 10-year treasury. They don't leave it in cash, because if they do that, the value of their dollar is going to drop pretty dramatically. So what can they do? Well, one of the best ways to hedge against that inevitability is to be long in stocks and to have good balance sheets and be diversified and not try to time the dang market. Timing the market is really a difficult thing. And I think anybody that tried to time the market over the last several months or since the pandemic probably wishes they would have stayed invested. So that's a quick answer to a question. What?
You know, for those of you just joining us, we are with First District Baltimore County Councilman Tom Quirk. In addition to his full-time job on the council, one's one of the largest financial planning firms, not only in the state, but in the nation. Hey, Tom, before we jump back here in the few minutes we have left to the county council and your 10 years, one of the things that I've heard people say over the years, and I want you to tell me if this is true or not, I've heard folks say that if you could take a pin and put it on a map on the Dow Jones or the S&P at any date in history, and then go out arbitrarily 10 years and put that pin on the map 10 years from now, that there has never been a time where the market has not been up after a 10-year period in history. Is that accurate, or is that something that people just say?
That's incorrect. There is actually one 10-year period that we actually had a negative 1% annualized return. That was 1999 to 2009. When you take out that 10-year period, it is correct.
Well, there you go. Tom, I wanted to ask you, you're involved in zoning and a lot of land sort of, and we've talked to other district councilmen about this, especially being involved. This year, has it been a quicksand type of thing where, like, everybody's sort of holding on that you can't build and do new things? Has there been any progress, like, really through the last 7 or 8 months with everybody with a mask? I see cranes down. I see things happening, but I find it hard to believe that that we can really make a lot of progress when everybody's sort of holding on, just trying to keep things open.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, in places like Catonsville, we're seeing an amazing amount of progress despite of the challenge in COVID. So the people that own State Fair, for example, just opened a WAPA, which is an amazing place.
I'm not wearing the shirt today, but I have one. Does not have one yet. So
Catonsville's pushing the opposite way. Unlike most of the country, where unfortunately we're seeing a lot of restaurants, a lot of retail go under completely. Fortunately, in Catonsville, we're seeing a lot of new investment. We got 818 Gourmet Market that just opened up. That's literally tens of millions of dollars investment. We got a WAPA, a Mexican restaurant just opened up. We have this wonderful State Fair. We got such great restaurants and retail. So Catonsville is pushing the opposite way. But in general, we have real challenging time with retail and restaurants around the country and capital sort of waiting for things to clear up before they jump in. But fortunately, in our area, we're pushing the opposite way. One thing I did want to mention to you guys that I think is really fascinating and in preparation for this meeting is, from a budgetary perspective, this is really important because now I'm a numbers guy and I follow the budget and I try to keep in close contact with what's happening with the budget. And you would think, and this is switching gears just a little bit, but you would think that right now in Baltimore County, our budget would be an absolute train wreck, absolute disaster. And fortunately, things are better than what we were projecting. Because one is we cut spending, we really tightened our belts when the pandemic hit. And we revisited the budget and redid the budget in preparation for COVID. So that helped us tremendously. But then the coronavirus relief funds in the CARES Act injected about $144 million into Baltimore County, which was hugely significant. We've been able to use a lot of that $144 million to close the gap we would have had otherwise. In addition, the schools got about $35 million from the Fed. We got money for aging and housing and different departments. And so that's really helped our budget. So right now, fortunately for Don Mueller would appreciate this being former Baltimore County executive. Fortunately, our budget at this moment is actually a little higher than we anticipated, which is pretty remarkable. Our income tax receipts in November, for example, were better than expected. We have, Don, you'll appreciate this. We actually have a 15% rainy day fund right now, 15%, mostly because of the moves we made. But a lot of that.
By the way, I've said if it's not raining now, when the hell is it raining? But I've brought that up with a few politicians the last 6 months.
I agree. We have a rainy day.
Pouring where I'm sitting, by the way, so.
Rainy day fund we never can use. Even when it's torrential downpour, tsunami type of rain. But at the end of the day, thank goodness County just gave schools another $11 million. really what the Federal Reserve did saved Baltimore County unquestionably. And the $144 million that we got, fortunately, we've been able to use a lot of that. And that's kept us afloat, and that's put us in a better position, along with the county council moves to cut the budget. And so right now, knock on wood, the county's in a lot better shape than one might think, fortunately.
That really is remarkable, Tom. Hey, before we let you get out of here, 10 years, a decade, that's a lot of service on the county council. What's been the most gratifying? What's the part of that 10 years when you look back years from now and say, feel really good about that? Which part of the 10 years do you feel really good about?
No, unquestionably, Don, it really was the work that you were really instrumental in with the late county executive, Kevin Kamenetz. And it really was the huge amount of capital that went into Southwest Baltimore County schools. I mean, unquestionably, hundreds of millions of dollars into revitalizing and rebuilding schools that were really, really needed. So easily that's and Southwest Baltimore County fortunately got a fair amount of the overall capital budget for schools. And so that's easily the most gratifying.
Hey, Tom, my side got taken care of. They're redoing Colgate right now. Dundalk looks like a palace. Like, I want to go back to high school. You know, yeah. My high school is going to be that nice. I could bring Moeller back, teach me social studies, you know.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Tom, you know, it again, thank you for your service. Oh, final thing. I was going to ask you about Teddy Roosevelt and your kids and all, but we don't have time because you talk for an hour on Teddy Roosevelt. Even named your son after Teddy Roosevelt. That's for right. Crying out loud! So we know you're a Teddy Roosevelt fan. But you are what some folks worry, and correct me if I'm wrong. As we head on out of here, you're what some people I think are afraid of as a dying breed. I describe you as a Democrat who's pretty much smack dab in the middle. I see you as a progressive on social issues and somewhat of a fiscal hawk, a guy who's trying to survive in a world of increasing extremes. How difficult is it to be a guy in the middle these days in elective office?
Yeah, very difficult. There's extremes on both sides, and you know, it's, I think with the way Congress people are elected, you get too much gerrymandering, you get the extremes that rule the day. And I even see that in the Democratic Party. You know, I think fortunately we had a moderate Joe Biden win. But if we had somebody more on the, say, the extreme left side, I think they would have lost very easily. And so I think,
democracy would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, not to point out a lot of stuff, but we had a more moderate candidate that would have won governor. I don't think Larry Hogan would be governor right now. I think it would have been a Democrat. And so I think the Democratic Party really needs to be careful not to go radical left, because I think the vast majority of this country are solidly in the middle. And I think it's a mistake if the Democratic Party, goes too to left, because we're going to lose a lot of people. And being a moderate is sort of like it's difficult. The radicals out there are challenging. But we just try to keep moving forward. And, you know, I think it's a tough place to be, though.
This summer we'll be sitting out on Frederick Road drinking margaritas and living the good life and putting chairs out for the parade. What do you think?
Let's hope we have one. I really, you know, depending on the pandemic, I'd love to see the parade happen again. And hopefully we can get there in July. But we'll have to see, you know.
I don't even like parades. I'm going to come if you have one. How about that?
There you go.
We need more parades. We need more people getting together. Tom, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for all your support coming out and watching our show and putting up with us over the last couple of years. Hope you're enjoying the new website out there. And I hope we get back at the Catonsville and say hello again soon.
Sounds great. All right.
On behalf of former County Executive Don Moeller and Councilman District 1 Tom Quirk, joining us live via satellite from Frederick Road, and on behalf of all of our sponsors, including the Taharka Brothers Ice Cream, we're shipping to you during the holidays, one click away. Put in the code Baltimore Positive, select those flavors, and whatever you do, don't pass on that eggnog. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.
Thank you.